What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, December 5th, 2017. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee.
What's good, Greg?
Not much. What's good with you?
I like this Christmas cheer you have going.
Seasonal wear.
I'm wearing my holiday shirt. It says cheers. Got some holly on there.
Sure. Yeah, well, you got some champagne glasses on there, too.
Well, I mean,
on brand. On brand for Andrea Renee. What's the word? What's the haps? I haven't talked to you in forever.
The haps is I finally am able to announce my hosting gig that I'm doing at the Game Awards.
Oh, what's that?
So I am once again working with Facebook and Jeff and the Game Awards to host a backstage winner's lounge where special guests that are presenting performers and, of course, people when they accept their award come back, they get on the live stage. We talk about, you know, their win and have some fun times. We got some really great interviews last year. Talked to Kojima, talked to Ted Price, talked to a bunch of cool folks there. So you guys can watch that. It's going to be live streamed simultaneously with the Game Awards on the Game Awards Facebook page.
Nice.
So that's facebook.com/TheGameAwards.
Okay.
If you guys want to watch that in tandem with the show.
Now, in 2015, when I won Trending Gamer of the Year, this didn't exist.
It did not exist.
Would you like me to come backstage at some point and give an interview just about
what's
happened?
That would be amazing.
Recap the last 2 years. All right, I'll think
about
it.
I will work you into the schedule.
I'll try to pencil you in.
Oh,
there's a lot.
Oh,
I'm out
okay.
in the crowd. I don't know. I'm going to be shaking hands, kissing babies.
Well, someone's going to have to get you an all-access backstage pass.
Oh, I'm sure I have that. I'm a judge. Oh. Yeah, I can hit up Jeff anytime. He'll get me anywhere I need back
there.
You
let me know how that goes for you.
I've talked to Norman Reedus before. He's going to wave me on. Me and Kojima coming back with him. I'll be in Death Stranding before
you
know.
Do you want to co-host with me?
Sure.
The whole show?
Sure.
Don't.
I got nothing to fucking do out there. It's just me and Jen watching
He'll
things
actually
happen.
Actually do it.
Why not? You know, how about, what if it's just a gimmick, Kevin? You know what I mean? Of like, I keep trying to come co-host and you keep pushing me away. It's real, real
That
fun.
Would be amazing,
there
actually.
Don't forget, of course, the Game Awards are Thursday. You still have time. I think today, what we have, is it the final
Tomorrow,
24 hours?
Tomorrow, December 6th is the last day to vote.
The final 24 hours for you to Google Trending Gamer Vote. Click on Andrea's face, click Submit Vote, put it in there. Get Andrea this win. She's up for Trending Gamer of the Year. We want her to win. You put in a little message here.
I did. So I heard you speaking yesterday on the show about this and how somebody wrote in about the voting and Able Gamers. And I got a really great tweet that was a fantastic idea and something that if people are torn about their vote, of course, as always, vote for whoever you would like. I, of course, would appreciate your vote, but Abnox Poser wrote to me on Twitter and said, I support at Andrea Renee for Trending Gamer this year, but I also believe in what at Able Gamers do. So in lieu of voting for Steven, I donated instead, and you should too, hashtag kind of funny. And then he had a link to the Able Gamers donor drive. So if you go to ablegamers.org, there's a donate now button in the upper right hand corner of their homepage. So if there's people out there that want to vote for me and you still want to support Able Gamers, this actually will help them probably substantially more by donating than by just voting. But of course you can do both. I think what Steven does is great. I am an advisory board member for Able Gamers, which
a lot
I've
of people
said
a lot of
on this show multiple
in,
times.
Yeah, I didn't put that in my yesterday when I was talking about it, but yeah, a lot of people wrote in being like, first off, sorry you had to deal with that, Greg, but you handled it well. So thanks for everybody being nice about that. But then the fact that, yeah, you're very involved with Able Gamers.
Yeah, I mean, and Steve and I believe is going to be coming to the show this year.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm looking forward to seeing him and seeing him at PSX. And we, of course, you know, love everything that they do and are proud supporters of them. So if you guys want to take it a step further, again, that's ablegamers.org. The donate now is in the upper right hand corner. And somebody also reminded me, you're doing holiday shopping this year. If you're going to be shopping on Amazon, smile.amazon.com allows you to put a percentage of your shopping to the charity of your choice. You can also select Able Gamers as that charity. So, food for thought.
There you go. Remember, of course, Game Awards are Thursday night. Andrew's doing the Winner Circle backstage. We will be doing a watch along here. I won't be there. I'll be crashing Andrea's stream. Coming back there, talking to Kojima, talking to Norman, maybe a little bit of Guillermo. You know what I mean? And then when they're gone, I don't know who else I'll buy. I've talked to Ted Price, all right? I'm sorry. There's a question from Kevin Coelho, kind of funny. Yes, sir.
Yeah, if you talk to Guillermo, can you ask him why he hates Beeps and doesn't want to?
I don't know. Yeah, we came on strong trying to get Guillermo del Toro on here once with one tweet where we promised him Beeps to come through and talk at the burger place. He didn't respond, so that's why. But yeah, we will be doing it twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to watch along Tim and Andy watching the Game Awards. Remember then, that leads right into PlayStation Experience 2017 down in Anaheim. I will be there. Andrew will be there. Friday night, I'm doing interviews with Shuhei and Sean Layden as part of the PlayStation kickoff event there for early bird ticket people. It'll be streamed on PlayStation as well. Then on Saturday, I'm hosting the Uncharted 10th anniversary panel with Nolan North, Troy Baker, Claudia Black, Emily Rose. The list goes on and on. Every name you know from Uncharted. Then Sunday, I'm doing a signing at 1:30 at PlayStation Experience. Then we're doing the Portillo's meet and greet 6 p.m. at Buena Park. Then we're asking all of you to drive down to San Diego so we can do the first ever in-person Kinda Funny community meetup Christmas party at Polite Provisions, 6 p.m. Monday night. Bring a white elephant gift to exchange with other people. Wear a bad Christmas sweater. Play Provisions now. Miracle on 30th Street. So we're looking forward to having a lot of fun there and being stupid. Andrea is not coming because she does not love you. Should that influence your votes?
You.
Should that influence your vote for Trending Gamer? Too late. We already got you.
No, listen, I'm still on the fence. The problem is like there's a bunch of stuff happening next week that I have to make sure I can still fulfill my commitments because a responsible adult fulfills their commitments.
Here's the thing. There's always a bunch of stuff happening in our lives.
It's true.
Just blow it off. Come party. Not to mention, think about it. When I won Trending Gamer, right, and then rolled right into PlayStation Experience, it was like this amazing after party. You don't want your after party in.
So what if I put on the table? Yeah. If I win, then I'll change my flight.
Oh, I like that. Okay. All right. Yeah? Good. Yeah. All right. Good. Everybody vote for Andrea so we can get her to come to San Diego and party there. And then remember, this episode is brought to you by Lisa.com and Omaha Steaks, but I'll tell you about that later. Some of you will like it. Some of you won't, but that's just how the show goes. Because this show is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, you need to be part of the show. Right into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give us your questions, your comments, your concerns, everything you want us to talk about on the show, because we will. On twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we record it live. However, if you're in the chat, your job is not to talk to us there. You need to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Was your heart not into that one, Kev?
I had to cough.
Oh.
I didn't realize it until I started making
it. It's the worst, holding in a cough.
Yeah. That or like a burp.
It went away, though, guys.
Or a yawn. You're trying to talk through a burp or a yawn? No, I'm not a fan of any of that. Number one on the Roper Report, and there's five items, I believe, right?
Okay.
Or is it really four?
It says four on there.
It says four, but I can't remember. Andrea added one. She added the fourth. It's four.
I did. Sorry.
No, I'm glad you did. You did a great job.
Dozen.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. The commitment to the bits. I love it. Number one, classic Wii games are coming to the Nvidia Shield in China. This is via Twitter, where ZHugeEX tweeted, Nvidia Shield is coming to mainland China. Will be priced at RMB 1499. The Shield will focus on games in China. It will run popular PC games as well as Nintendo Wii games such as Mario Galaxy, Twilight Princess, and Punch Out. Andrea, shocking.
Yes. This is
shocking.
It kind of is, right? A little bit. And just in case you were wondering, like I am, $14.99 in the Chinese currency
RMB, which means Roomba.
That's not what it means.
They don't deal in Roombas?
No. $226.50 in US dollars.
Okay.
For that Nvidia Shield. So I'm kind of like, this is a head scratcher,
yeah,
right? Like the idea that you're playing Nintendo games on
classic Wii Nintendo games,
like a PC device.
Yeah.
There's emulators that you can do this now, right?
And that's the thing. When you walk around malls this time of year, you usually see this hollowed out N64 that has a million games on it. You're like, you don't have the license for any of this. This is totally not. And so when I saw the image, that's immediately what I jumped to. Is like, oh, this isn't real, but it is in fact really happening. That Nintendo went through and made these games, and they're, I believe, 1080. They're like, you know, HD. They're ready to roll.
So this is a Nintendo sponsored thing?
Apparently, according to everything I was able to find in where I was getting my information from on the internets and whatnots. John Fick wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey KFGD, it looks like Super Mario Galaxy and The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess are headed over to the Nvidia Shield in China. First of all, that's crazy enough on its own. But This has to be a sign that these games are coming to Switch, right? Nintendo and Nvidia working together closely on the Switch architecture, so it seems to add up. What do you guys think of this? Love from Buffalo, New York, the chicken wing capital of the world, John Fick. I feel like we're jumping a lot of conclusions, but right. I also feel like this is a crazy fucking story that all of a sudden these old Wii games are popping up on Nvidia.
I think it's worth reading. Over at Ars Technica, they had this story and they put an update in that says,
ooh, updates.
A description page on Nvidia's Chinese site suggests the Wii games in question are run via streaming through Nvidia's GeForce Now service rather than through emulation directly on the Shield hardware. This complicates the idea that the Shield is being used as a test run for any Switch virtual console efforts. The mere existence of a remastered HD version of classic Wii titles, though, suggests that Nintendo may have further plans for these games than just basic emulation.
Yeah. That's the thing. If they're going through and remastering these and putting them out, like, why would you just put them on the Shield? There's got to be some... you want to get them out and you want to make money off of them.
Also, why would you just do it in China?
China.
I mean, obviously there's over a billion people in China, yeah. So I understand why they're in that market, but why only that market?
Mm, yeah.
I wonder if it has to do with... licensing, perhaps? Mm,
interesting, yeah. I mean, it's just China, the China market right now is so interesting as people try to make inroads there, as they're finally opening up those borders to get games that
right, well, because consoles are still relatively new and pretty sparse from what I've read about install bases in China, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to jump to the conclusion because it seems too good to be true that would then mean, oh, these games are coming to the virtual console or something to that effect, but it also doesn't seem... that far-fetched, even though I don't think Nintendo's in any hurry to make the virtual console happen.
Not as long as they're making millions of dollars on their classic editions, their little mini consoles. Yeah. So, I mean, why do both?
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, you know, there's rumors of a Nintendo Direct coming in January and that really laying out what 2018 would be. Obviously, we've been predicting that for a while as well. You wonder if they get there, if it will be, here are games, then here's also our plans for what this online infrastructure we want you to pay for is going to be. Here's what virtual console looks like. Do they need it? They've had such a runaway successful year without it. You feel like, do you keep that in your back pocket until you actually need to go?
Yes, they definitely need it. While they have had an incredibly successful year, there's no denying they're still incredibly behind their competition. Sure. And if they want to make up ground and really see a giant bump, then they need to address the online connectivity. They need to address voice chat. I hope that they ease the use of friend codes at some point.
Oh, man. You're talking like we were before the Switch was announced. Now the Switch is here. Who cares?
I still care.
I still roll my eyes when I'm playing Animal Crossing and I got to put in a million things on my phone, but it's just like, whatever. I'm playing the game. I'm happy.
You give them a pass. Listen,
I don't give them a pass. That's just what they are. They're like, you know, your crazy uncle. It's just your crazy uncle. You can't fix them.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
He's going to sit there. He's going to say something vaguely racist at Thanksgiving. You're like, all right, well, I just got to.
Sometimes you got to say, hey, uncle, knock it off.
Yeah.
Get with the times.
Then he bites your mom on the neck. Then she's dead.
This
now
got
you got
weird.
A crazy uncle there.
This analogy
covered in blood.
Is gone off the rails.
Now, where's the gun in the house? That's the big question.
Oh, my gosh. Greg Miller.
Number two, Housemarque has licensed Unreal and a new game is going to be announced soon. This is via Gamatsu. As announced in November, Housemarque will no longer make games in the arcade genre and rather explore new genres, including multiplayer experiences with strong, robust communities. In moving away from the arcade genre, the studio is also moving away from using its own proprietary engine technology, which it has done for over 22 years. Quote, throughout our 22 years, Housemarque has taken pride in building our own proprietary technology to build the games that we want to play, said the CEO from Housemarque. Our summer 2017 release, Matterfall, bucked that trend and was the first Housemarque release to use Unreal 4. The CEO continued, we have made the decision to use Unreal Engine 4 exclusively going forwards. Unreal 4 enables fast prototyping, contains modern pipelines and editors for artists and designers, and provides really valuable documentation and support forums. Plus, it's still very customizable, so we can still use our award-winning rendering and visual effects tech with the engine. We've got some exciting stuff in the works. So nothing real. It's more interesting than ditching their engine, and then in the, like I said, there was a loose quote there saying the game is coming soon, but who knows when that really matters.
Managing your own engine is expensive.
Yeah.
And not to say that they're not paying Epic for Unreal, but being able to use an engine that is being serviced by another company so that they can focus on the creative instead of having to maybe work out the kinks and the back end and the code.
Yeah.
I think is great.
No, it's a really good idea. And
it allows them to port it to multiple sources as well.
And it allows them to collaborate and actually have the thing about using an engine like Unreal is the fact that if you have a question, someone else there has already asked that question usually. So you can talk to and learn from each other. Whereas you get to something like Telltale, right? Where we're talking about how they were using their own engine forever and it's really hindered their games going forward. And like why with the layoffs recently and they're restructuring and they're refocusing, they're like, they're talking about better technologies. It's the fact that when something's broken in an engine you're running, you got to fix it. There's no one else to go to. There's no real tech support to turn to.
Yep.
And so, yeah, it's interesting. I thought it was fascinating that they tossed out, you know, soon to be announced game or it's coming soon kind of thing. I wonder when we'll actually hear what Housemarque's up to next, but obviously as a developer as talented as they are, I can't wait to know what it is, but I also don't want to hold my breath for it. I feel like we're still a ways out, but
don't hold your breath.
Don't do it.
No.
Okay. You think it's going to be a while still?
I mean, they put out a bunch of games this year.
I know they did, but but they move quick and they move fast and I don't know. We'll see. Just make it, Housemarque. Don't go away from everything we love from you. You guys are talented. Number three, we might have the release date for God of War. This is, of course, just a rumor, speculation, take over the grain of salt, so on and so forth. GameSpot says, though, earlier today, or overnight, I guess, the PlayStation Store had been updated to say God of War for PlayStation 4 was coming on March 22nd, 2018. After news of this started racing around the internet, they switched it over to be December 31st, 2018.
Whoopsies.
Which is your normal placeholder thing. However, as we've said repeatedly, I think for sure, I'm saying this is a real release date for God of War. Saying it gets announced at PlayStation Experience.
It's definitely going to get announced at PSX.
Or Game Awards. It could be a trailer at Game Awards.
I don't think so. Not with their special presentation. They got to show something of substance. This would be a thing of substance they could show at their own, you know, little presentation.
But here's my thing of substance, right? I think for the Friday night thing, first off, you already have trending game of the year 2015, Greg Miller there interviewing Shuhei and Sean. Like, what else? No, I'm just kidding. But you're going to talk about Ghost of Tsushima. You're going to talk about Dreams. Like, there is substance there from what they've made it to. Yeah. I think that maybe a punch in the face, kick it off like they usually do, is something to say and have a cool trailer, Game Awards, if you got a war, and remind people that that's coming, and then maybe do more there.
I think trailer for Days Gone at the Game Awards.
Mm.
Gameplay deep dive at PSX. That makes more sense to me because I feel like we just saw God of War at Paris Games Week.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if that makes sense for Game Awards right now.
Well, I mean, but the thing we came off of Paris Games Week was like, where the fuck's the release date?
and we all guessed that they would say it at PSX, and I still stand by that. I don't think the Game Awards is the place for the release date. I think there's a lot of other games that we're going to see at the Game
Awards. Just feel like regardless, we're going to get it soon, and it's got to be this because they, you know, Sean Layden's thing about E3, right? If we said 2018 in the trailer on stage, that means it's coming in the early part of 2018. As we've said, when we talk about the God of War and we predict that release date, every God of War is released in March, at least every one of the main ones. It seems like that would make sense to stick with that and get it here. So March 22nd seems pretty real. We'll see if somebody threw the switch or whatever. However, Parker Petroff wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Dear Greg and Andrea, first, congrats on the nom, Andrea, and hopefully you take home the W at the Game Awards. I saw today that the God of War release date was listed as March 22nd, 2018. If this is in fact the correct release date, when do you think the other first-party titles, such as Days Gone and Detroit, will come out for PlayStation in 2018? Thanks for getting me through the workday, Parker."
I think Days Gone is going to be holiday, fall. Yeah. Sometime between September and November.
It's worth pointing out, remember, that these are two games that did not have the 2018 at their end of their stingers at E3.
Right.
Detroit was eventually, in an interview, Quantic Dream, David Cage said 2018, but that wasn't one of the ones Sean was talking about. And kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, Days Gone didn't end in 2018 in their trailer. It was God of War. It was Spider-Man. And there was another one that I'm reaching for, but I don't feel at the moment. I'm in the dark on that one.
Yeah, I'm blanking.
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
I honestly, like, the thing about Days Gone is that I didn't anticipate it coming out in 2018 at all. But now with Tealu 2 on the horizon, they can't release in the same year. I mean, okay, technically they can.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be wise to have two, you know, of these zombie type adventure games in the same calendar year. So I think it would be smart of them to kind of distance those two from each other. But who knows? I mean, Detroit is up in the air. I think that that game is probably farther along than we think it is.
I hope so.
I'm looking forward to finding out more about that, you know, at PSX. I think that it could feel good maybe like in May, maybe June.
That'd be awesome.
You know, PlayStation has released games in June historically before.
Sure.
So wouldn't be out of the woods for that.
TLU itself, yeah.
Right? But, I mean, that's hypothetically when we're supposed to be getting Red Dead, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. You want to avoid, right? Yeah, Days Gone is a wild card because I feel like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't with that. Whereas at Paris Games Week, when that trailer for Last of Us is happening, it was a back and forth of like, is this Days Gone? Is this Last of Us? And when that's a bad note to hit where I can't at a glance. And granted, when animations really got rolling, you're like, oh, this is a very detailed cutscene. This is Naughty Dog.
Right.
But still, that's not the kind of taste you want in everybody's mouth where they can't differentiate them.
Right.
And so even having it at PSX, at Game Awards, if you're going to do something with it at either place, you need to come out of the gate and explain to us why this is different. And I feel behind closed doors when you talk to people from, and I mean at E3, behind closed doors meetings, when you talk about it, I get the sense that it's a lot different than The Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah.
But we still haven't gotten those deep dives in anything you've seen publicly. So I bet the public is still struggling with what really separates this and how is this not just The Last of Us again?
It's certainly a marketing problem they're going to have to address, and hopefully they do it sooner than later.
What gets interesting for 2018, and because I could see with David Cage saying 2018, Days Gone being wishy-washy on it, from what I understand, again, kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong if you've found an interview or something that says 2018 somewhere else. Spider-Man is the one that definitely had 2018.
Yes.
And so where do you put Spider-Man, really? I feel like Spider-Man...
Spring? Late spring, maybe? I mean, it would work ahead of like the summer blockbuster season. So like May, I think, would be a great time for Spider-Man. I think it also would work really well in like September or October.
That's the thing for me where I think Spider-Man is a game that is going to move PlayStation 4 units. And so you want to have that getting ready for the holiday next year. So yeah. I would actually think more Detroit, if it's actually ready to go, which I never trust Quantic Dream because they're great guys, but they're perfectionists.
Well, also, I think it's important for us to remember that Detroit is a fundamentally different experience than any of these other games we've been talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, these types of games, you know, David Cage games in general are highly cinematic narrative experiences. They're not these giant open world action adventure games. So hitting a few different audiences. So it's not necessarily going to be dinged if it comes out next to a large game. Because I think that inherently the people who like those types of games will make time for it no matter what.
And that's when you start talking about it, especially with like Sony exclusives that they're, you know, running the ball for. That's where it gets complicated. So let's say God of War is March. Then I would say, yeah, Detroit is May, June. But even that, I feel like you don't want to fire all your missiles at once and then Spider-Man fall.
I bet you somebody from PlayStation is listening to this show or watching the show being like, they're so wrong.
Oh, no, I guarantee it. I'm sure that happens to everything we ever say on the show. Anyone on the other side of the fence is just like, these guys are idiots. They don't understand how business works at all.
They're like looking at their calendar going, they have no idea.
But I mean, yeah, I don't. It'd be interesting to get somebody to stop fucking bullshitting and talk about, like, you know, how you have to try to make all this work. You know what I mean? Like a year from now, like I guess we could even look back at a year from now when all these first party games have hit.
Why don't you ask Sean that question when you talk to him on stage?
Don't worry. I submitted some. I got some stuff lined up. Don't worry about that. But I mean, like a year from now when it is, all right, cool. Sony has all these exclusives, has all this stuff lined up. How do you sit down and make it work? And why did you pick this date for Spider-Man versus that date for Detroit or whatever?
Yeah.
It'll be interesting, but I don't know. In Days Gone, I could easily see slipping. I could easily see Days Gone being the January, February game of 2019. Right?
Right.
We'll see. Number four, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege has exceeded 25 million players, or at least the 25 million player milestone, at the launch of Operation White Noise. You added this one there.
I did. Good so eye. It's the 2-year anniversary of Rainbow Six Siege, and obviously Operation White Noise is the newest DLC pack that's available on all platforms right now. And so they announced that they surpassed the 25 million registered players mark. A quote from Alexander Remy, the brand director over at Rainbow Six Siege, says, "Player investment has been core to the success of the game, with longevity being always very important to us. As the game progressed, we continued to develop it with the community in mind." So we added this because this is an an impressive number. And I think that they have been quietly in the background amassing this giant player base of people who are actively playing Rainbow Six Siege. And obviously they announced season three of content. And I think that's incredible. I really loved this game, and seeing numbers like this and knowing that they have really active servers makes me kind of want to jump back into it.
Yeah, I've talked about it before on the show, but I mean, like, the run-up to it, everybody seemed really into it. When it released, and I'm talking about like at IGN, the run-up to it, everybody's into it. The release happened, and it didn't set anybody in my sphere on fire. You played it, you were talking about.
Oh, yeah, I loved it at launch. Played a ton of it. Had all of my operators, my skins, had my favorite maps. I mean, the thing about this game is that it's super high level play from a strategic standpoint. So you kind of have to, if you want to be successful, it's the best to go in with a team so you can communicate going in into PvP as like a solo queue and not being able to talk to people on chat if you're the type of person who doesn't like to do that, or if there's people on your team that aren't communicating with you. It's hard to be successful in this game because it requires so much team coordination in order to win, especially now since they've kind of siphoned off the casual players and the people that are there know the maps, know which walls to put which, you know, barricades on. And where to set up fortifications and all of that. And I was surprised that it held on as long as it did, just because it is not as approachable to a casual player from the standpoint that at the beginning it was, because we were all new. But now, people that have been playing for a while are really good and really know the maps well, which is why it's always fun to kind of, you know, hypothetically get back in when a new DLC launches, because it's new again for everybody.
A little bit of even playing ground, right?
Exactly. At least for a little while.
No, I'm glad that there's been an audience for me. It was, for me, the first example, I think, of what, like, For Honor would become, where it was like, oh, that game came out, and I didn't hear much about it, and then, like, you move a stone, and there's millions of people playing. You're like, oh, it's just that nobody I knew was playing it. There's this huge audience for it, and that's great.
There's a lot of games out there like that.
Exactly.
Secret stealth popular games.
Andrea.
Yes.
We just talked about Rainbow Six Siege. That doesn't help for my usual transition. Well, it's God of War. I can't wait for God of War. But it's still so far away. If I want to know what came to the digital mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah, in stereo with Kevin Coelho. It's Tuesday. That means it's a huge day, so strap in. Dead Rising 4, Frank's Big Package, comes to PlayStation 4. Did you ever play any Dead Rising 4?
I did.
You like it?
I did.
Me too. I really enjoyed that on Xbox One. It's another one where I'm like, oh, I could go and put more time in place.
Well,
I never will.
Well, and it's Christmas themed, so maybe I'll go back, actually.
Yeah. Destiny 2, Curse of Osiris, comes to Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. How hype are you?
God, I'm so excited.
I want to get home and play it real bad, too.
I forgot to start my download this morning. I'm kind of mad.
That one's going
to
break your heart.
Yeah. I know, but I'm so excited for those 4K files. Let's go.
Steep, Road to the Olympics, comes to Xbox One, PS4, PC. The Walking Dead, the Telltale Series Collections, comes to Xbox One, PlayStation 4. And yes, it has a new trophy list. Just one platinum, though. It's a lot of work to get that platinum. Caveman Warriors comes to Switch. Nine Parchments comes to Switch and PC. This Is the Police comes to Switch. A Hat in Time comes to Xbox One and PS4. Boiling Bolt comes to Xbox One, PlayStation 4. Justice League VR, The Complete Experience, comes to PlayStation VR. Didn't see that one fucking coming, but I'll be playing it. Let Them comes to PlayStation 4. Mitch, Barry Challenge, comes to PlayStation 4. Oh My Godheads comes to Xbox One and PlayStation 4. Snow Fortress comes to PlayStation 4. Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition comes to PlayStation 4, Xbox One. The Surge, A Walk in the Park DLC, comes to PlayStation 4, Xbox, and PC. IGN also has this. The latest Nintendo Switch update is out. It's 4.1.0, and it doesn't change much beyond the usual stability improvements, but Nintendo singles out the console's motion controls as a point of improvement. So enjoy that.
I don't want to sway you, but there's a headline that says, hands-on, Justice League VR is one of the worst PSVR experiences so far.
How are the trophies, though?
I don't know.
Listen, did I expect this to be good? Of fucking course not. If you have a Justice League game coming out and you don't tell Greg Miller...
There are no trophies to collect.
Fucking goddamn it! So if they couldn't make the goddamn extended universe worse... What do I do in it? Do I do anything cool in it?
There are mini games. One is where you play with the Move controller in each hand as Batman. and probably the best of a very bad punch, sitting you inside the Batmobile and tasking you with steering the supercharged vehicle while shooting down goons. Superman and Aquaman are much the same thing, meanwhile, with one taking place above land and the other beneath sea. This is from PushSquare.com, by the way.
Good job,
and then there's a Wonder Woman one where it's kind of a tower defense title that plays like you're stuck inside of a jar of treacle. What does that even mean? Kevin, what can you explain what that is? You don't know. Okay.
A treco jar? like the Last Guardian guy?
It says Cyborg is basically a static shooting gallery while the Flash sees you sprinting down a subway tunnel, pumping your arms to increase speed.
This is all very
I don't know.
It's the trophies that really get me. That there's no trophies even earned in this thing.
That's pretty.
It's like they put out the Ghostbuster experience. That wasn't great either. God damn it. New dates for you. I didn't want to do the show anymore.
Hi.
Nick, they put out a Justice League game. Are you tapping or watching us? We haven't done 30
Nick,
minutes of the show yet.
Are you?
It's not lunchtime.
Are you going to go get us lunch? Is that what you're trying to say,
Nick?
Yeah,
how about that? Yeah. Okay, hold on. If nobody can hear you, go talk into Kevin's mic if you want to be part of the show. Okay, fine then. New dates for you. WWE 2K18 Switch drops tomorrow. Wednesday, December 6th. Enjoy that WWE game finally coming out there. IGN says Blade and Soul's newest update brings a new area, level cap raise, and more. The Dawn of the Lost Continent arrives Wednesday, December 6th, and immediately raises the level cap from 50 to 55 and increases the Hong Moon level cap to 25. Meanwhile, Sinner Sacrifice for Redemption, the boss battler action game from publisher Another Indie, will come to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Windows, and Mac on April 25th, 2018. DayZ is coming to Xbox in 2018 and PlayStation 4 later. This is because of DayZ will come to Xbox in the game preview program, sounding very much like PUBG. Also, DayZ 1.0 will also drop in 2018 on PC as well, sounding very much like PUBG. I guess PUBG actually dropping 2017, so I'm kind of a liar, but you understand. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite has a free versus mode demo this week for PlayStation Plus peeps. That probably should have been deals of the day, but we'll ignore it. Life is Strange Before the Storm, Episode 3, Hell is Empty, comes out December 20th on Xbox One, PS4, and PC. Can't wait. Can't wait. Conclude, kind of, this part of Chloe's story, then go backwards for farewell with Ashley. And I don't care, though. I'm excited. I'm happy it's here.
Me too.
Got a platinum there, too. Deals of the day for you. PlayStation Now is adding a bunch of new games like Elder Scrolls 4, Oblivion, Dishonored, Rogue Warrior, fucking awesome game. Not worth your subscription to PlayStation Now, but it's awesome because it's terrible. You ever play Rogue Warrior?
No.
Mickey Rourke voiced it.
Oh.
Awful game. But like at the end, they take all of his horrible things he says in the game and they put it into a rap song that you can get on YouTube right now. But he really doesn't like commies. And he says it a lot with the F word as he kills them.
Okay.
Then ID at Xbox has an indie game bundle sale right now, including stuff like Inside and Limbo, Don't Starve, Jackbox for stuff like 50% off. It's a great deal if you like those games. Now, it's time for reader mail, which is brought to you by Lisa in Omaha Steaks. Now, I've said it so much, but let me tell you, Andrea, going to mattress stores is no fun. You know this.
Yes.
I hate it. They give you a little condom for the pillow. They're weird. They ask you all these questions about sleeping. I don't want to talk to anybody about how I sleep.
You see people laying down, and then you have to go lay where they laid, and it's weirdly warm, and you're like, this was weirding me out.
So order your mattress online at Lisa.com, just like Joey Noel did. She got it delivered to her door. Well, actually, she got it delivered here. Then we had to carry it over there. Then she opened it up and inflated, and it was great. Lisa cuts out the bad guy and takes away the pressure. The Lisa mattress is 100% American-made and delivered compressed in a box to your door. It is thoughtfully crafted with high-quality materials to create what Lisa calls their universal adaptive feel. Its three foam layers provide support, pressure relief, and cooling that adapts to all body shapes, sizes, and sleeping styles. You get a 100-night trial, so if you don't like it, you tell them. They give you the money back. They come and get it. Everybody's happy. Mattresses cost thousands in the store, but Lisa starts at $525. You can get $100 off by going to lisa.com/kindoffunny and entering the promo code kindoffunny, all one word. Remember, it's Lisa, LEESA.com/kindoffunny, promo code kindoffunny. Be like Joey Noel. If you have a kid or a cat, as we discovered yesterday, this is a great gift for them. Because the kid will be excited to see the
cat house, yeah.
And then you got a cat house for the cat.
Cats love boxes.
This is
true.
If you need to sleep, maybe you got a partner. They need to sleep too. You got a kid and you got a cat. That's three gifts in one. You just knocked Christmas out of the park for everybody. Everybody's having a good time. But if you want to go the extra mile, try our other sponsor, Omaha Steaks. Right now, for only $49.99, you can get my family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter my code KFGAMES in the search bar. That's 75% off. Kevin, did we eat Omaha Steaks at Extra Life?
Yes, we did.
Were they good?
They were fantastic.
They were excellent, yes. We're big Omaha Steak fans here. I'm sorry, Kevin has more.
Also, that's where we discovered that if you put a hamburger in a bagel.
Right.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Get a garlic bagel. Holy shit, get an everything bagel. Grill that up. Then put the burger on there. You're in flavor country.
You know what you could really cherry on top that with?
What?
An egg. Like a fried egg.
I love a good fried egg and burger. I love a good fried burger. Yeah. 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 All right, Andrew. I like where your head's at.
This right now.
Well, you can get it by going to omahasteaks.com and using our code KFGAMES. Remember, for $49.99, you're going to get 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha Steak seasoning packet, and then an additional 4 kielbasas for free. Remember, I've said it before, I say it again. I sent it to my dad. He liked it so much, he sent it back to me. Do you have somebody you're scratching your head on? What am I going to give person X for Christmas, Hanukkah, any of the holidays? The answer, a box of meat. Just send him a giant box of meat. OmahaSteaks.com. Enter code KFGAMES in the search bar, 75% off. Blah, 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 blah.
Greg?
Yeah.
What happened to the apple turnovers?
The apple turnovers, it's weird. Nobody knows what happened to them.
You took them home.
I did take them home. We're in the reader mail. The apple turnovers are awesome.
I was so excited for them.
They're tartlets, aren't they? Yeah,
caramel apple tartlets.
They are delicious, let me tell you.
It's bullshit.
I'm sorry. Order one for the office. The one time when we did, my dad sent it to me. I wasn't even here that day, and they opened it up and put it all in the freezer, thinking it was for an ad, not that somebody would actually. You know what?
Listen, if Kinda Funny can pay for a wizard costume for one Greg Miller.
First off, that was a Professor McGonagall con.
I think you can probably buy one of these boxes for the office.
We just bought a kegerator, all right? Let's not go all out with all these packs.
Listen, when you got cold beer, what do you need to eat with it?
Hot meat! Bagel burger. Jesus Christ. Let's get out of this. Alley Cat 8633 wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can to be part of the show and says, hello, Greg and Andrea. I was thinking about recent remarks Phil Spencer made about investing in studios and new exclusives for the Xbox One X and wanted to get your guys' opinion on something. Out of the following scenarios, which has the potential for coming true? An exclusive Hitman game for IO from IO. 2. Original exclusive Telltale game. 3. Microsoft gets an exclusive game from Capcom. 4. Castlevania exclusive from Konami. What do you guys think? Also, is there any other studios that you think Microsoft could get an exclusive deal from? Thanks for all you do, Alicat 8633.
These are all really good suggestions.
Yeah.
I think you could probably cross number 3 off that list.
Microsoft gets an exclusive game from Capcom.
They already had an exclusive game from Capcom.
ReCore.
Dead Rising.
Right.
So,
but ReCore was exclusive too, right? No, so looking off to James,
multiple
fan visiting the office, right? He's trying.
So I don't think that they're going to get a third, or maybe, I mean, maybe they will. But I think that with Capcom's recent partnership with PlayStation for Street Fighter, I think that maybe a standalone exclusive is maybe no longer on the table.
And I would think of the two things as well, being that I don't think either of those exclusives from Capcom move the needle for Microsoft. And I also think Capcom wants to make as much money as possible. Some rumors we've heard out there.
Right.
I don't think they're going to get into bed with that.
Rumor about wanting to make as much money as
what
possible.
What a weird rumor that they want to make more money. I agree with that. And in the same vein, I would cross off the original exclusive Telltale game.
I don't think that's a needle mover either.
Exactly. It's not a needle mover. And Telltale's whole thing was, right, we just laid off 25% of our staff to focus on making fewer games, but making better quality games. And I don't think they'd want to then turn around and be like, oh, let's add another game for Microsoft, let alone an exclusive.
Yeah, I think exclusive Hitman game from IO is an interesting idea, and probably of these ideas is the most plausible.
Yeah.
I think Castlevania exclusive from Konami. I think Castlevania as a brand, I'm sorry to say this, it's kind of gone.
Oh my God, but the Netflix cartoon.
I think I think there are fans out there, obviously, that still support this franchise.
Yeah.
I don't think that this is a big enough franchise to justify the spend that would have to happen to make a current generation exclusive game.
And that's the thing, too, of I feel if you were going to draw people back into Castlevania, I think the smartest move would be to go back and make similar, like make a Symphony of the Night again.
Right.
Side scroll, basically Iga's game right now. But the problem is, That is cool for people who are old school Castlevania fans. That's not going to motivate them to go buy an Xbox One X.
No.
And if you're making that, if they want to make that game, why would they put it everywhere? So then, okay, go make a modern AAA Castlevania. Well, they did that during the PS3 era, and people liked those games, but again, they weren't runaway successes that they right. made money hand over fist on.
I have previously said, and I still stand by this theory.
Here comes the theory, everybody. Andrew Renee's putting on her theory cap. Get yours at home, too.
If Xbox really wanted to make a splash with an exclusive partner title,
yeah.
if they could get Valve to give them an exclusive game, I think that would set their world on fire. Because Valve doesn't care how many PlayStation 4s are in the world, right? They don't care. They're Valve. And Xbox could really benefit from a partnership because almost all of Xbox's new AAA games are play going anywhere. To be, yes, exactly, play yeah. anywhere, so you can also play it on your PC. Who makes games and lots of money on PC? Valve. It's seems true. Like a natural partnership, doesn't it?
That is a good one. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I mean, from what, yeah, I guess the most likely Alley Cat from your things would be something exclusive from IO. It'd be interesting to see if this goes both ways, I guess, but if Microsoft would even sniff around at buying IO in the fact of like, oh, okay, you just got out of this deal with Square. You have the Hitman license. We know people really like Hitman already. Why not come work with us? But then on the same side, I wonder if IO's like, it's awesome being our own bosses now and we want to try doing this on our own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're probably. No, I don't know. That was a tasteless joke. Don't worry about it.
I think they would. I don't think that they would turn down Microsoft's money.
You never know. I mean, they're out there right now freewheeling. They just got out of a marriage. They're out there just sleeping with anything they'll talk to them now. Kurt from Denver, Colorado writes in and says, do you feel that Jeff Keighley's relationship with Hideo Kojima hurts the credibility of the Game Awards at all? I have a lot of respect for both of them, but I always feel Jeff's monologues that heap praise on Kojima are awkward and the low point of each awards show. It made sense for the year that Kojima and Konami parted ways, but ever since, it has come off as a bit much in my opinion. The praise is well deserved, but I feel that the Game Awards would benefit from no Kojima/Del Toro love for just 1 year. Would love to know your thoughts. Great work on the show. Kurt from Denver, Colorado.
Well, last year he got the Industry Icon Award.
Yep.
Hideo Kojima did, so it made sense that year as well for Jeff to speak about him and speak about their relationship.
And it was also a big deal that, I mean, you're talking about the, you know, that you thought, Kurt, you're talking about the fact that you thought it was okay when Kojima and Konami split, right? Which was 2015.
Right. And because so, that happened like right before the
right.
awards.
And so Jeff had that, you know, we wanted to give the award or whatever, and he couldn't come here because of Konami's lawyers, everybody booed. Then the next year you have him for the Industry Icon Award and give it to him there. Then this year, I haven't seen anything out of the usual heaping of praise. I mean, just retweeting everybody talking about the Game Awards and coming
exactly.
through.
Exactly. Listen, Kojima is doing all of those tweets on his own. Jeff is not prompting him to do that. Which, by the way, if you guys do not follow Kojima on Twitter,
oh, you got
should.
To. You're missing out. It's don't you want to see lots of photos of Mads Mikkelsen and Norman Reedus? I sure do. That's why I follow. Beautiful shots of champagne glasses and you assume LA and all these different things.
Yeah, I definitely, Kurt, I do not think that it hurts the credibility of the Game Awards at all. Obviously, I just announced that I'm going to be working
fucking
for the Game
hat.
Awards, and I've worked with Jeff for several years now. I have nothing but great respect for all of the work that he puts in on this show. I would be hard-pressed to find anything that hurts the credibility of this show because, quite frankly, what he does is a celebration of an industry that too often doesn't get recognized for the thousands of people who work in it across the world. So I think what he does is great.
Yeah, I feel like depending on the day or the person or the perspective, there's a million things to attack the Game Awards for credibility.
What, yeah.
And so that's just what everybody's perspective is. The long and short of it is it's a video game award show and Jeff's got to make sure it happens. So he does ads to make that happen and different activations and all these different things that some people look at and think are gross and slimy, but it's okay. How do you make the show happen? Else, how do you want this all to happen? He's done an amazing thing and built an amazing product. And I feel every year gets a little bit closer to what my perfect science is for an award show or what I'd want out of the Game Awards.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about the show this year. The Video Game Orchestra. Like, I'm kind of bummed that I don't get to watch a lot of it,
you know,
from the seats. Yeah, because I'm going to be backstage. But I'm ready.
I'm sure you are. Yeah. There's a lot. It's exciting for you on multiple fronts this year.
It is.
A job? A nomination? Who's gonna interview you if you win? Have you decided this? Who's gonna be in the awards? I mean, I'll come. I'll come back there if you want.
You should. So my producer made a joke that he and John know each other, that he was like, we have to get John to come back and interview you. And I was like, John, of course, was like, of course I will. Whatever you need, I'll be there. I think it would probably make more sense to have a former winner do it. But
maybe, I don't want to get in John Drake's way, because if he's back there, right? With the Diet Coke, he's like, all right, you won, big deal.
He's probably listening to this right now being like, I can't believe you're taking my job away from me.
I will too. Sony, you hit me up if you want. Trust me, this Kind of Funny ship is not going the way I thought it was. Josh L. writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Dear Greg and Tim. Nope, you missed.
That's wrong.
No. I have a confession that may or may not blow your mind. I have been with the PlayStation economy since the dawn of time, yet I have not achieved one single platinum trophy. Not one! Yes, I know this may be hard for you to hear. However, I would like to focus on this deficiency in my gaming life and right the wrongs. Do I save myself for the right game, or do I just go and get a platinum as quick as possible? With Destiny 2 on the forefront right now, it seems an easily approachable platinum that may beat out Persona 5 for my first plat ever. Do you remember your first? As always, thank you for all the things you guys do and for filling up my 2-hour round trip commute during the week.
This is an interesting analogy that he's put forth with this language. My first platinum and only platinum trophy to this day is still Horizon Zero Dawn. I've talked about that on this show a couple of times. And I still technically don't have it because it didn't
pop
because there was 3 glitched trophies. So if you go into my stats, everything is there. All the boxes are checked, but the trophies just never happened.
Are you prepared in the winner's lounge if they win anything to bring this up during the interview?
No, of course not.
I'm just saying.
I'll bring it up probably off camera to be like, hey, can you just like give me like a hot fix?
Wait, I'm just saying, think about how great this bit would be if you're like, hey, and then you had digital screenshots that on paper you pass them of all the checkboxes, then hand them a USB with your save and be like, I'll give you my login. You make this right when you get back to Amsterdam.
I have no doubt in my mind they're going to win at least one, if not many, awards on Thursday, since the game is fantastic. But as far as, you know, approachable platinums, I mean, you got the Destiny 2 platinum. I would say it's approachable. Easily is maybe not a word I would use.
It's just time consuming. Yeah, that was the one thing.
Yeah, if you want an easy platinum, I'm sure there's a bunch of games.
Oh, yeah, no, you know, I would say... This is very you're talking about, do you want to save it and stuff? Like we're talking about platinums here. I think you should. You don't have to wait for love, but you have to be in a relationship with somebody for your first one, right? My first was Uncharted, obviously. You know what I mean? That was the first platinum that was obtainable. Super Stardust didn't have a platinum because back in the day PSN games couldn't have it. I would say do it with a game you love. You know what I mean? Don't just throw it away on Mr. Masagi. Don't just get a Taco Master in there. Oh, Taco Master could be a good game. Don't get me wrong. You should wait. If you love Destiny 2, do that. Persona 5 is a fucking Herculean task to play through to period. So if you're thinking about platinuming it and you think you have what that takes, then that's a pretty great one as well.
Godspeed.
Yeah, go ahead and do that. And we'll talk to you in a year when you do it. Unless you're Andrew Goldfarb, who doesn't Japanese and nobody understands how. I would say... wait for a game you love. And you're not going to find the one, you know, the game that'll be with you forever. But like, you're young, you want to get some experience under your belt for, you know, future platinums you go and get. You know. Hitman Go, Kevin yells out. That's one. That's the GoPro. Andrea.
Yes, Greg.
It's time to squad up.
Let's do it.
This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD, giving me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need friends. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. You all play games together and have a good time. Sin Purger writes in for PlayStation 4. That's his PSN as well. Sin Purger saying, looking for anyone playing Battlefront 2. And I'm not one to read into messages, but usually we get very verbose messages saying like all this different stuff. Sin Purger just sounds like he's been beaten down by the loot boxes and the bad press. Looking for anyone to play Battlefront 2.
We were talking about this before the show went live this morning about how... we in the games press and, you know, fans of the show who listen to games news, you know, frequently forget that there are millions of players out there who never once probably saw a story about microtransactions in Battlefront 2 and are just there enjoying their time.
Exactly. That are just out there enjoying the game, right? But Sin Purger, and maybe he is enjoying it.
Well, I mean, he wouldn't ask for people to play with if he wasn't enjoying his time, right? Well,
yeah, I mean, you're chasing a platinum, you know. You got to get out there. You got to do this stuff. You put maybe put a lot of time in there already.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is going to be interesting because, Kevin, I need to tell you some bad news. The ink, the printer is out of black ink back there.
Oh, God.
But I got to the second to last page. So I will do a seamless transition because I'm a professional host from where it leaves off on this to where it picks up over here. All right? Are you ready, Kev?
Mm-mm.
You're not ready. I'm not going to read off the screen.
Trying to help you helpful.
Kevin.
No, we love you.
No, it's fine. I'm over it, too.
Oh, Kevin, no, don't be like this big good big dog.
Should I order more ink or should we destroy that printer?
We should destroy that printer, but then even we'll need it. Anyways, special segment, why I'm voting for Andrea Renee for Trendy Gamer. Now, real quick, this isn't us campaigning. Obviously, it's been an ongoing discussion after yesterday with the Able Gamer stuff, but I've seen it in the community in respectful ways of like, why is this happening? Why am I doing it? So here we go. Nicole Humphrey writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hi, Greg and Andrea. Greg, I thought you handled yesterday's message from Clancy Tom about the Trending Gamer vote very well, but I wanted to throw in my two cents. Yesterday's message stuck with me because it implicated a question I've been struggling with, whether to vote for Andrea or Steven. As you said yesterday, Able Gamers is a group that has had an incredible impact on a specific community of gamers. However, Andrea is also doing incredible things for a specific community of gamers. I am a female gamer. When I was growing up, I never had any friends with which I could share my passion, and I often felt weird for being a girl who liked video games. Seamless. Discovering Greg and Colin on Beyond, I instantly fell in love with the podcast as a place to hear gaming discourse and became connected to other gamers, of course. Other gamers, period. Of course, I followed you to Kinda Funny. Kinda Funny has been a great outlet for my gaming interests, but there was always something missing for me, a female presence. Not your fault. That's her, not me. The first time I was introduced to Andrea through Gamescast, I became an instant fan. Naturally, when What's Good Games was announced, I immediately signed up to be a Patreon. Andrea is a female voice in gaming, and her and the other What's Good girls have greatly impacted my life. Words cannot describe how incredible it is to consistently hear female voices in gaming. I'm truly grateful for the work Andrea has been doing both with you and What's Good Games. I think it's important not to forget her impact, and it is why I have been obsessively voting for Andrea twice a day for weeks. Little late, but you can vote twice a day, once through Google and again through the Game Awards site. A vote for either Steven or Andrea is not a vote against either, or any of the other omnis for that matter. It will always be a vote for a person who has greatly impacted people in the gaming community. I, as I'm sure many others, including Andrea and Steven, will be overjoyed for whoever wins. Much love and thanks to you both. Sorry for the long message, Nicole Humphrey. Great message, Nicole. Couldn't have said it better myself.
I'm like kind of crying over here.
Yeah.
It's incredibly thoughtful, and it's very kind of Nicole to express her support in this way. And what's been great about What's Good is that not just Nicole, but several other people have sent similar messages to us over the months since we've launched, kind of saying, hey, like, I've been looking for this. I've been waiting for this. Like, thank you for making the content. And that's really why we do what we do. It's the same reason why you guys do Kinda Funny, because the best friends let you guys know, like, it means something to them.
Yeah. It's our pleasure and honor to be there for these people.
Absolutely.
Good.
Thank you, Nicole.
Everybody
very,
go vote.
Very sweet of you.
Andrea, stop crying and tell me what we got wrong. Remember, if you're watching live and we screw something up, you need to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screwed up so we set the record straight for youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. Heads up, go subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. When we come back, I'm going to pimp hard. We're almost to 230.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
I know, we're trying.
If there's a way that we could get someone to clear the old pages.
Oh, are we out of date again? No problem.
Yes, that'd be great. So, Lord of Pwn?
Pwn, yeah.
Says, the reason why Nintendo games are coming to Shield is because of a deal NVIDIA made with Nintendo and bringing the Shield to China specifically. Mm. So, in a statement to Engadget, they say, extending the business relationship that brought NVIDIA technology to Nintendo Switch, some of Nintendo's most beloved Wii and Nintendo GameCube titles are officially headed to China for the first time. So they also have New Super Mario Bros. Wii, The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess, and Punch-Out Remastered in 1080p, and available on the China version of the NVIDIA Shield.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So just a little bit
more information.
Info as to why it's specifically there. It's because this was a deal done just for China. And I would say, hey, NVIDIA and Nintendo, maybe Not just China. Maybe bring it other places as well. I have a shield sitting in a drawer somewhere that I'm not using.
If you ever start playing that shield, I will be so angry at you. All right? There was a thing called the Vita, and it was better than the shield, and we didn't
I have a
it.
Vita, too.
Yeah, but it's dead now. All right?
That's not my fault.
I know it's not.
No, it is.
Kevin.
It was everyone's fault.
You know what, Kevin? It is a little bit everybody's fault. Shame on you at home right now. If you're driving the car, pull over and think about what you've done for 5 minutes.
K-Bab says...
It's your fault, too? Get the fuck out of my office. Why are you even here?
In the Justice League game, like being stuck in a jar of treacle probably refers to the fact that the movement is extremely slow and unresponsive. Treacle itself, meanwhile, is a syrup made in the refining of sugar, and it's associated with England. Oi, governor.
Oi, governor.
Black treacle is also known as molasses, which you've more likely heard of.
Who wrote this over there? Was it Kotaku or who was it? No, it was Push Square. I was going to call it Kes McDonald. And then she's going to The Guardian, though, too. It's hard to keep up with everybody, what they're doing over there.
It's true. Somebody else wrote in describing what treacle is.
All right, we get it. It's molasses.
K-Babs then responded to them again.
I just can't believe we can't get a good movie, can't get a good VR game. Like, the bar is so low for VR games, too. No offense, VR developers. It's just like you couldn't even put out one that was like somewhat decent.
Mustafa asks a question.
Here we go.
Which I think is worth noting, saying, regarding Rainbow Six Siege, does the 25 million registered users include all of those that played during the numerous free weekends over the years? I would think so, especially as progress is saved from those free weekends. Is Ubisoft inflating its numbers to impress investors? I mean, listen, even if that is including all of the free registered players, that's not an inflation because there are a lot of things to buy.
And you're now registered, which means you're on a Ubisoft mailer, which means they, as you always talk about, when you get a free weekend out there, they're not trying to get 99% of you to stay. They're trying to get 1% of you to stay and put more money in and buy the game and invest.
And as somebody who has bought some of the cosmetic items in Rainbow Six, like, there's some really cool stuff to buy. So if you got in for free, I mean, there's probably a chance that at least a portion of those players are going to spend money on that game eventually. Because let me tell you, once you play a long time, you want the special skins on your guns.
You got to get the special skins.
All right, moving on. So from C. Beretta, Greg stated that Capcom developed ReCore. Armature Studios and Concept developed ReCore, and it was published by Microsoft. Keiji Inafune, right, who that's produced several games for Capcom, like Mega Man, obviously, Lost Planet did found Concept, who worked on ReCore, but Capcom was not involved.
Thank you. That is exactly what happened. I just went with Inafune.
See, this is exactly what You're Wrong is for.
Exactly. You nailed it.
Somebody else also discussing that same issue. Parker Wolf says, Gabe from Valve used to work at Microsoft and is on record talking a lot of smack about them. Half-Life 3 would probably come out before they ever did a deal with Microsoft.
Yeah, whatever. Remember all the shit they talked about PlayStation, and then Gabe Newell walked out at E3 that one year and was like, hey, everybody. Like, you talk a lot of shit about everybody in the world.
Listen, Gabe may have some beef with Microsoft, but there's a lot of people at Valve who have a seat at the table in business decisions that might say, hey, maybe it makes sense.
Exactly.
Anyway, that's it.
Oh,
we're done.
If you didn't, wow, that was great. Okay, cool. All right, I like that one. If you didn't know, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about, then give you some perspective, answer your questions, and have a good time. Be part of the show. Go to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Submit questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, and the like. Remember, get on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, podcast services around the globe. Remember, tomorrow is Widow Wednesday, in which Gary Widow will be on with Tim Geddes. I'm going to be off doing the Brothers Green podcast over there, talking to Hank. What else? Vote for Andrea. We've covered that.
Tomorrow's the last day.
Tomorrow's the last day. Get out there, do that. Make a bunch of fake accounts. Talk to your friends in Russia. Have them come back. PSX is right around the corner. We're streaming the Game Awards. Come hang out with me, Portillo's. Drive down to San Diego. Get blasted. If she wins, she's coming, so you got to make sure that happens. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.